I was taking note that Bishop Curry was asked to preach for 5 minutes yesterday at the royal wedding, and he preached for 13. I do not intend to repeat that pattern of going double the time assigned to me today. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them. At a gathering in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit shows up and she looks like fire. Whenever we hear stories like these about God through Jesus in the early church, we are reading stories about people who have the Hebrew scriptures in their minds. These are Jews who read and learned and repeated the stories of what we now call the Old Testament over and over and over again. And so it's an exercise I like to engage in to try to plot a map in the Bible to see where similarities emerge in the rest of Scripture. So this week I went back in the Old Testament to look for fire. Fire singes the pages of the Bible. From the very beginning, fire is often the way that God appears to God's people. God looks like a burning bush in Exodus. God looks like a cloud of fire to lead the Hebrew people through the wilderness wanderings in Numbers. God speaks in the language of fire. God's voice echoing out of a blazing cloud at Mount Sinai to deliver the law. Fire reveals God. But in the Old Testament, it also burns things away. Fire consumes all the things that make claims to be God's in people's lives. Fire is the form of reckoning for the things that separate us from God. We see fire burning up atonement offerings on the altar for the sins of the people in Leviticus. Throughout the Torah, there is one destination for idols of stone and wood and wool that terrorize the people. They are all destined for burning. There's a piece of wisdom reserved from the desert monks, and it goes like this. Abba Lot went to Abba Joseph and said to him, "Abba, as far as I can, I say my little office. I fast a little. I pray and I meditate. I live in peace as far as I can. I purify my thoughts. What else can I do?" Then the old man stood up and stretched his hands towards heaven. His fingers became like 10 lamps of fire. And he said to him, "If you will, you can become all flame." You can become all flame. I think of the story on Pentecost, the flames dancing above the heads of the gathered believers, the Holy Spirit like fire pouring into them, becoming this flame of the world, turning it to fire. The second century church father Athanasius once wrote, "The Word became human so that humans might become God." When the Spirit comes down, it is all that fire of God. All of it, the fire of Sinai, the burning bush, all of those idols set alight, all of this God stuff is now burning inside of the church. God's life is coming ablaze in a gathering of human lives. Centuries of passing down this story have domesticated Pentecost. We celebrate, but are we also in awe? Today, you can become all flame. There in Jerusalem, there is a violent rush of wind, and Peter starts quoting from the prophet Joel, "And I will show portents in heaven above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." There is nothing polite or nice about this moment. It is blood and fire. It is darkness and signs of the end of all things traced in the sky. This is the power surging through the veins of the church. And so it's not surprising that the first act of the Holy Spirit is repentance. We discover that Peter turns to those who have participated in the death of Jesus. He calls out those who cooperated with a system of torture and occupation, to those who actively worked for this machine of state terror, and he calls them to repent. With this fire burning in him, fearlessly he calls the people out of their participation in death's working and into the life of the church. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus, whom you crucified. Can you hear what Peter is saying? He's telling these people that they have killed God. But then he goes on. He tells them that God, who cannot be held by death, wants to welcome them home. He tells them that God's promise is for everyone. They're forgiven. Can you hear it? There's no punishment. There's no waiting period. No clauses. No promises. There is only new beginnings. And after that, they sit together. They learn. And they eat, and they pray, and they share what they have, they give to those in need, and there's no difference between them. There's no slaves or free, no Jews or Greek, no male or female. They burn away the idols of their difference, of their hierarchies and their intolerance. They set fire to the distinctions that have made some holier than others, that create divisions and fissures between those who are chosen and those who are not. They become the fire of God burning in the night, a torch that leads others back to God. And that, beloved, is what the end of the world looks like. That is the power of God, the power to call into question the logic of boundaries and barriers, to call those who work within the God-killing powers of this world to repent, to lay their weapons down, and instead to pull up a seat at the table. There's a line in an old African-American spiritual, "Mary, Don't You Weep," and it goes, "God gave Moses the rainbow sign. No more water, but the fire next time." And at Pentecost it arrives, the fire next time, wiping away, erasing a world of death and greed and sin. The Holy Spirit is here, the fire next time. Our bodies becoming flames as the end of the world crashes into view, as this new world emerges, surrounded by flame, burning away systems of coercive power and making all things new. On this day of Pentecost, of welcoming new people to pull up a seat at this table, we're telling the story again with our lives. We're telling it with our hands reaching towards one another's hands, as we remember the God who levels all people, as we take the bread and the cup, as we sit and talk and eat around cake, remembering this birthday of our church. We'll continue to tell this story with our bodies and with our lives. And in all of it, we can see that in one another, we are becoming all flame. Amen.